America's favorite progressive, The Chris Hahn Show.
Oh, yes. I am back, and I got to tell you, I was pretty excited earlier in the week when I was perusing therap.com, as I always do when I know my next guest, Jordan Chariton, has a story up there. Because Jordan, my good friend, knows that I am a huge fan of Keith Olbermann. And Jordan, you were speculating that he's coming back to MSNBC. Now, I know he's got a bad attitude to everybody he works with. But damn, that guy's entertaining. He's kind of like me. I don't have the bad attitude to people I work with. I tend to be good, but I'm almost as entertaining as Keith Olbermann. What's going on, my brother?
Hey, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. So is there any truth to this? Tell me about it. Where'd you hear it? What's going on?
First of all, I'm very surprised you're so enthusiastic about this, since you're the one who wants that 8 o'clock time slot than anyone I know.
But you know what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. Okay. He's going to come back. He'll either move to 9 or 10 o'clock, or he'll get fired. And in the meantime, they'll have this hunger for an entertaining progressive who, you know, isn't just some wishy-washy, you know, wah-wah-wah liberal. They're going to have an action-packed liberal hour at 8 o'clock. And then he'll either, you know, piss somebody off and get fired. They'll want somebody with all of his, you know, passion and entertainment skills, but without his bad attitude. I mean, I'm going to be the nicest guy. I'm going to be bringing flowers to the makeup ladies. I'm going to be buying donuts for everybody on the staff there every day. I'm going to be so happy to have that job. You know, I'll be the best boss ever. I'll hire you to be my booker or my producer or whatever. But So what's going on there? Tell me about this.
You know, reports have come out recently that Andy Lack, who's, you know, the new NBC News chairman, has been meeting with Olbermann at least once. Keith's obviously out of work after being laid off ESPN for the second time over the summer.
Right.
Now, if you look at MSNBC's primetime, which we've talked about, it's gotten a bump with election coverage like every other network. But what happened with MSNBC last cycle, you know, 2011, 2012, you get the coverage bump of a presidential election, the campaign,
right,
the gaffes, and boom, next year, political interest drops. Their ratings were like the Titanic.
Right.
And they're just recovering now, at least in daytime, I've reported. Total viewers has been up, but the advertising money demo, which is younger, 25 to 54, has been shrinking.
Right.
So the bottom line is there's not a lot of great liberal voices out there, excluding Chris Hahn. So
thank you.
MSNBC, you know, it has been reported that they've met with him. Now, in my eyes, and not that I'm always right, but I feel strongly about this, you have Keith Olbermann going on Real Time with Bill Maher.
Yes.
On Friday.
Yes.
He's the lead guest. Bill Maher.
And I was like, why is he here? He doesn't have a show. He doesn't have a book out. He just was there.
Right. Well, part of why he's there is if he's about to sign with MSNBC, they want him out there.
Right, so, right.
Throw that out there.
Right.
But, you know, they do their spiel, they rip Trump, all that.
Right.
And then Maher gives him just a giant meatball to hit out of the park. You know, what happened to MSNBC? Olbermann, you know, gives some strange pontification about cord cutting.
Right.
Cord cutting is hurting MSNBC and other networks.
Right.
Sure, this is true, but we don't expect a scholarly lesson from Keith Olbermann about cord cutting.
It was a reserved and un-Keith Olbermann-like response. I watched it live. And I absolutely felt the same thing, but I didn't kind of read into it the way you are. I just was like, wow, has he changed? Is he looking for a job there? I mean,
no, I think you got to look at the breadcrumbs, you know. Last year when he was still at ESPN, it came out that he said to someone, I hadn't watched MSNBC since 2009.
Right.
Meaning he didn't watch it even when he was there.
Right.
So, when he's been employed, he has not been shy to criticize MSNBC. Earlier this year, he actually gave praise to Phil Griffin, MSNBC president.
Right.
He praised Rachel Maddow.
Right.
So I think he's been kind of paving the way a little bit to get back in good graces. And remember, his main tumultuous relationship was with Phil Griffin and MSNBC staffers when Andy Lack was not there.
Right.
Andy Lack and Keith have not really worked together directly for a long time. So, bottom line, if you bring in the ratings, let me tell you, I worked at Fox. Bill O'Reilly, trust me, he's not viewed as the male mother.
Well, Bill O'Reilly is like standoffish, right? But he doesn't seem to blow up like Keith Olbermann. There's all these stories. Now, I worked at Fox, I worked at Current, both places. I've been around Keith Olbermann, and I've heard stories about Keith Olbermann when he was at Current for that brief period of time that blew my mind. I was like, this guy just got fired for this, and now he's over here, and he's yelling at everybody. He's yelling at makeup women. And Current, the Current studios were nothing like MSNBC studios. They were like these little box, So I couldn't imagine being in that box with that guy. So,
but you know what? At the end of the day, I've worked at Fox. I've worked at MSNBC. I used to work at local news in Tampa, Florida. Star anchors, 9 times out of 10, are not the nicest people to work with.
Right.
So, someone like Andy Lack, who's the chairman, that's why they get paid the money they get paid and have the stature they get paid, because they, for lack of a better word, have to do a little handholding.
Right.
So if Olbermann were to come back, I'm not their human resources advisor, but I'm sure things would be a little different. But the bottom line for MSNBC, they're trying to straighten out, at least in daytime, to not be, opinionated during the daytime. In prime time, they pretty much kept as is. Rachel Maddow's still there, Lawrence O'Donnell's still there.
Right.
But with Chris Hayes, it's been 3 years already, so his ratings are not going to go up. They're getting a bump from election coverage along with everybody else.
Right.
So I think the road has been paved for an Olbermann return. I think he said, all the right things. I think that interview with Mar was very telling for what he didn't say.
Right.
And I think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen pretty soon, because they're not going to bring him back,
after
the Iowa.
Let me just send a message to the MSNBC people who are listening to the show right now. If you want a progressive who's going to be nice, I'll buy tacos every Tuesday for the entire staff. I will be a gentleman and a scholar to everyone. I will take interns in and I will teach them about politics. I will talk to the staff. I'll give speeches during sweeps, whatever you need. I'm your guy, Chris Hahn.
You don't even
Keith
need
Olbermann.
To do that.
I'm Keith Olbermann without the baggage. Okay. And trust me, it'll be a much more exciting show than anything you have on right now. Other than Chris Matthews to me is, my favorite person. If I'm home at 7 o'clock, I am watching Chris Matthews. He's one of my guys. I do, though. I got to tell you, I didn't really get into watching this kind of programming until Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann's the guy who kind of turned me on to this style of political talk show. And I kind of, other than the Chris Matthews show, but the prime time, 9 o'clock every night, the countdown, I watched it every night.
He was on at 8 o'clock, but 9 o'clock. But
he was on at 8 o'clock, whatever.
But you, like literally millions of other people, that's why MSNBC became a liberal powerhouse.
Right.
Keith Olbermann, he came before Rachel Maddow. He's actually the reason MSNBC hired Rachel Maddow.
Right, right.
On Keith's suggestion. And look at the cause and effect. He left in 2011, other than a very strong election year, which everybody had.
Right.
2013, 2014, 2015. The bottom has fallen off. So, we'll see. But, we like to do predictions. You and I have, done our predictions on certain topics. I predict he'll be back before February. Before
really?
Iowa.
Before February?
Before the Iowa caucus.
So that means sometime around April, I should be getting my call. Like, I should be his fill-in, because I'm just like him. I mean, I don't look like him. He's a much more handsome man than me.
Probably going to have to start smaller and be a guest a couple times.
Right. I can't get arrested on MSNBC for some reason. I do everybody else. I do CNN. I do Fox. I do local. I can't get arrested on MSNBC. They want these erudite, columnists. They don't want people who have real experience in government like I do. Right. They want columnists and they want writers for like The Washington Post or The Atlantic or, Slate magazine. I mean, give me a break. Get some people with some real experience who are entertaining. My God.
We could do a whole other segment on hooker and producer laziness. So
it's really, I watched Jonathan Capehart on there. And look, I read Jonathan Capehart and he's a good writer. But Jonathan Capehart should not be getting hits that I should be getting. I should be getting those guest gigs. Jonathan, this is not against you, Jonathan. I don't dislike you. In fact, I agree with almost everything you say. But when I say it, it's entertaining. When you say it, I go to sleep.
Well, I think you should call your local congressman and make your case.
Well, my local congressman is a Republican, and I don't think he'll be doing me any favors at MSNBC. All right. I'm talking to Jordan Sheridan. He is a columnist on TheWrap.com and reporter. He covers media. He covers television, a little bit of politics. All right. Lots have been said over the last couple of weeks about these GOP debates. There was a big powwow among all the campaigns to try to make demands. Of course, they didn't make the demands on Fox Business because, they figured it's Fox Business. But they were very, very upset at the tough line of questionings they took from CNBC. Now, my question to them is, well, if you can't handle the CNBC debate, how are you going to handle Putin? What do you take about it? What's your take on all this ridiculousness?
Well, I actually think as I was reporting and writing up some of the coverage of the CNBC coverage, I was frankly surprised because the debate I watched didn't seem to be the debate everybody else was complaining about. I think when you have eight candidates on the stage, the main thing they're going for is not that knockout soundbite on policy.
Right.
The main soundbite they're going for is attack the media.
Right.
It's not a coincidence Donald Trump, pretty much out of the gate in that first GOP debate, got into it with Megyn Kelly.
Right.
That's Donald Trump.
Right.
But for these other candidates, even on the undercard debate, which obviously isn't watched as much, Chris Christie was getting a little testy with the Fox Business moderators, and that's Fox Business.
Right, right.
But you look at CNBC. I mean, Megyn Kelly in the first debate, and John Harwood in the CNBC debate, they pretty much asked the same exact question to Donald Trump, just phrased a little bit differently.
Right.
Megyn Kelly went after him for his misogyny against Rosie O'Donnell and other women. And John Harwood stated Trump's policies and asked them, can this be perceived as a comic book campaign?
Right.
Megyn Kelly was widely praised in the media. John Harwood was vilified.
Well, can I tell you, though?
I don't want to be a hypocrite.
But here's,
I did some tough reporting on John Harwood as well, based on sources at CNBC. But it seemed to me that the Republicans kind of duped the media into thinking CNBC was awful. I mean, other than poor management of the debate, I thought the questions were pretty fair, and I thought it was a fair debate.
I had no problem with the questions in that debate, but that was an unruly debate. Like, there was no control. There was, the moderators were talking over each other. There were far too many of them, I thought. I just think that CNBC did a poor job, and I don't watch a lot of CNBC. I must confess, I've never been on CNBC. I don't watch a whole lot of it. And I just was watching the pregame for like 5 minutes. I remember just turning to my wife going, this is horrible. I mean, I can't make heads or tails about what's going on here. And then the debate was more of the same. Like, they were talking over each other. The candidates were talking over each other. Now, look, do I think Ted Cruz was completely full of it when he gave his big, diatribe against the CNBC moderators? Absolutely. Especially since he was asked a legitimate question and didn't want to answer it. But, they did leave a lot to be desired there.
Right. Well, I think you have to look at it. It's easy for everyone, bloviators like us, to play Monday morning quarterback on CNBC, Fox, you name it. But business networks in particular, they're not as staffed up as it. Let me tell you, CNN has an army of producers working on those debates.
Right.
Fox News, army of producers. CNBC, I mean, they obviously have staff and they're part of NBC, but it's not the same thing.
But
and the second thing you have to take into consideration, they would never acknowledge this, but, Carl Quintanilla, John Harwood, Becky Quick, these are not household names.
Right.
So they're trying to make an impression. They're trying to get their 15 minutes of fame. They'll always say the story is not about us, but if you're on TV, you have an ego.
Yeah.
That's it.
So you think that played into it a lot?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I saw some talking over each other. You saw a little bit of a push and pull among the moderators, whereas the Fox News first debate, I mean, it was pretty much like a smooth operation between Chris Wallace, Megyn Kelly, Brett Baer. who is very professional, but these are household names. I mean, this is not going to make or break their career.
Well, also say what you want about Fox News. You might agree with what they do and what they don't do. Fox News is a well-produced network.
Yes.
I mean, it is
Absolutely. It is
show business. I mean, it is right down to the second. They've got a producer on top of a producer on top of a producer making sure things run smoothly over there. And I think when you're going to have the biggest, I mean, that was the biggest audience CNBC ever had, right? Mm-hmm. And you would think that they would prepare for that audience and have the best show they ever had. But they didn't.
Well, I also, there's another element you're discounting. Fox Business, for example, to the naked eye, you know, if you're putting aside partisanship, they were easier on the candidates because it's Fox and it has a conservative lean. But CNBC, they were tougher on the candidates. So it's going to come off chaotic because if the moderators ask tough questions and you have the Ted Cruz diatribes, you're going to get a loud audience reaction.
Right.
At times you're getting boos. So when you're watching at home, Fox Business debate looks like a very well-produced play. CNBC looks like an animal house because they're going at Ted Cruz. They're going at Ben Carson.
Right.
Trump, Carson, Ted Cruz are going back 10 times harder. Then you bring in the audience, and before you know it, it's a food fight.
Well, I still think that, honestly, I still think that there was a bit of a raucous kind of thing. You know, CNN did not have this kind of debate like CNBC did. I just think it was just kind of like poorly run. And that just kind of, that to me is poorly run. I mean, forget the questions. I think the questions were perfectly fair. I think it's ridiculous for candidates to, if you say something in the media, you should be expecting to get a question. Now, was Harwood trying to make a name for himself with the comic book villain? That was such a stupid thing to say in a presidential debate. He was clearly trying to score points nationally on the back of Donald Trump, and it was a little untoward. But it's not
new. I mean, let's look back to 2012. Newt Gingrich, when he was asked, I think, a valid question about his character,
right,
about extramarital affairs. I mean, he went pretty much, ballistic on CNN's John King, and the audience ate every last drop of it. So Republicans against Republicans leverage, the evil liberal media.
Right.
And they're all fundraising.
And that's their thing.
If you look at Twitter that night, the next day, they're decrying the liberal media and asking for donations.
Right. And that's the thing about Republicans. They never lose by trying to attack the media. That's their thing. I mean, Ben Carson is saying that the media is giving him undue scrutiny for things he wrote about himself in a book.
Absolutely.
Right. And meanwhile, we could point to, hundreds of articles about the Clinton emails. We could point to hundreds of articles about Obama's birth certificate and about his ties to Reverend Wright and Bill Ayers and others. But, they don't remember that. They only remember the 20 times that they've been questioned about their stupid own statements. I mean, Ben Carson, do you think he's been treated unfairly?
You know, the most interesting thing to me in the year 2015, if we're comparing exaggeration scandals, Ben Carson, what he did, was not that much different than what Brian Williams did.
Oh, absolutely.
It was definitely different in terms of Brian Williams kind of fudged a lot actual war stories. Carson, fudged his biography a little bit, but they were both very broad exaggerations. The media pounded Brian Williams.
Pounded him into the ground.
Right. Whereas with Carson, strangely to me, because there really wasn't that much gray area, you have quotes in the political story of him saying, I was offered a full scholarship.
Right.
Of him saying, I met with General Westmoreland on Memorial Day, I forget the year. And the media kind of, a lot of media who cover media attacked Politico for the story, saying, it's very strange to me because Carson, if I'm just looking at it very, very objectively, he, I don't want to say he lied, but he definitely was not telling the whole story through
interviews. I got 1 minute left with you. And since you brought up Brian Williams, is it just me or is MSNBC finding every excuse possible to put him on the air? I mean, every excuse possible.
The bottom line is this might be a gigantic corporation, but Brian Williams, he's still getting paid, $8 to $10 million
right.
a year. And Brian Williams, he shouldn't be, but this man has an ego. I'm sure I've heard from sources. He's you know, a little bit of a diva. So right. At the end of the day, he's not just sitting there in the NBC commissary collecting a paycheck. He wants to go on air. And if NBC has hopes of rehabilitating him at all, they have to get him in front of the camera as much as possibly.
I think they're trying to rehabilitate him because the guy is on. I mean, look, I keep the TV on in my office. I usually have two or three channels going. And whenever I see him pop up on the screen, I pump up the volume on MSNBC. So, I mean, it works for me. I mean, I don't know if people are flipping through and they see Brian Williams and they stop. But Brian Williams, to me, is news. And so are you, Jordan Chatterton. And I want to remind all my listeners to follow you at Jordan Chatterton on Twitter. If you go to my Twitter right now, at Christopher Hahn, I tweeted out Jordan just a minute ago. And you could always read his column on therap.com. Jordan, it is always great to see you and talk to you. We'll get you back on real soon. All right, my man?
You too, but I don't speak with you. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too, my brother. I'll talk to you soon. All right, you listen to The Chris Hahn Show. I'll be taking your calls at 631-451-1039 on the other side of this break. So keep it where you're at.